We want to welcome each one along to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We bid you welcome in our Saviour's great name. We're glad to see you at morning worship. Let me just read to you the words of the psalmist, the Psalm 127, the first verse. Remember, this psalm is often described as the builder's psalm. The first verse says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." It's an acknowledgement. We need the Lord's help. We need his help as we come to his house here for worship. But just to remind you that there's emphasis there for your own house, your own home. We all need the Lord's help in our homes and in our families as we seek to live for the Lord and bring them up in the things of God. So I want to cry to the Lord for his help in these meetings today. We're going to sing the words of the hymn 621 as we commence the meeting. "We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels." 621, please, and we'll stand as we sing. Just bow together before the Lord. We'll lift our hearts to him. Even in the words of that psalm that we read from, we pray the Lord will be with us today, that he'll come and bless and build his house, build the work of God here in this congregation. Our God and our Father, we do come to thee in prayer. We ask thee to lead us on today. Remember the Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he went a little farther. And Father, our desire, our burden is that we might go a little farther with thee. Remember in the Song of Solomon it says, "Draw us and we will run after thee." And Lord, our desire is that you'll draw us today after thyself, touch our hearts through the ministry of thy word. Pray that you'll come and challenge us, draw us, we pray, today by the power of thy Spirit. We do acknowledge our need, Father. We think of the words of the psalmist that we have read and pondered briefly at the commencement of the meeting, that except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Lord, we need your presence. We need thee to come and put your hand upon us. We need your blessing. We need thee to prosper us, Father. We want to ask that you'll do that. for us as a congregation. Prosper the work of God here in this congregation. We want to pray, Father, prosper every outreach, every department of the church. We want to pray that over this summer time that we'll see the work progress and see the work advance. But we ask, Father, for our homes and families, that you'll come and put your hand upon them. We acknowledge we need, Father, your help in our homes, and even as we bring up the children and the grandchildren and the things of God, to set the right example. And Lord, we want to pray that your hand will be upon every home of this church. We want to pray, Father, that every home will know your presence, know the blessing of God, even in all its fullness resting upon them. We want to pray, Father, that our families might be built up spiritually. We want to ask that they would be saved. Save every member of our family circles. And Lord, we want to pray, lead them on. We ask that they'll grow in the things of God, that there'll be that increase spiritually that will take place. We want to pray, Father, that you might come today and save, even in our midst, in these meetings. We're mindful of the special service tonight. We do thank you, Father, for the two children's meetings. Thank you for your hand upon them through the winter's months. We want to thank you, Father, for all that attend those meetings. We praise thee for the increase that has been given through this last season. We acknowledge your goodness. Thank you for prayer that has been answered. Thank you for all that are involved in those works and for their faithfulness. And we thank you, Father, for their earnest labours to bring the gospel to the children, to teach them the word of God. We pray that you'll be pleased tonight to seal the meeting with your blessing. Pray that a good number will attend. We pray, Father, that even some of the children that previously thought they couldn't be here, overruling their circumstances, to bring them along to the meeting. We pray for many parents, grandparents, friends and family members. We ask, Lord, that you'll draw in a good number of visitors to that service tonight, helping the programs. We want to pray that that you would speak through the children, and all that they would say, all that they would sing. We ask thee to remember our sister Christina. She'll come to bring the message. We pray that she'll know the help of God tonight. Guide her just as to the message that she would bring. We want to ask, Father, that all that will take place will be to your praise, to your glory. Even may your hand be upon the time of fellowship that will take place afterwards. We want to thank you, Father, for the blessing of this past week, all the meetings that were held here. We remember the ladies as they met on Monday night, our sister Elizabeth that came to speak. We remember all the students, Father, at this time. Guide them, help them in their studies. We plead for your blessing upon the work of the Whitfield College. We want to pray, Father, send other students to the college. Give the students help as the exam time approaches again. Remember our young sister, she will finish this summer. We pray that she'll know for a certainty of where you'd have her to go and to labour for thee. We thank you too, Father, for what we heard on Wednesday night and what we saw of the great outreach that takes place at the Ploughing Championships. Thank you for the Reverend Crane, all involved in that work, the burden our brother has for it. Thank you for using him in our midst on Wednesday night. Lord, keep that door open. We think of the multitudes that are reached. We rejoiced in the stories that he told of witness made for the gospel of souls that have been saved even there in the tent. We ask the Lord to increase that work. We want to pray that you'll multiply it. We pray that it might be used even to turn Southern Ireland to Christ and to the message of the gospel. We want to thank you as well, Father, for your hand upon the witness yesterday at the City Hall. Thank you for all that were gathered, all that were able to be present. Thank you, Father, for weather conditions suitable for that gathering, for help given to the moderator, help given to all that organized. We want to thank you, Father, that you've not left yourself without a witness in the evil day in which we're found. We want to pray, Father, that even though it has not been reported by the media as widely as would have been liked, We ask that it might have an impact. We pray, Father, that the influence of that protest might be felt even across the province. And we ask as well, Father, that it might be felt even in Westminster amongst the government there. O God, we ask thee to step in the days in which we're found. We see the tide of evil that is coming in around us. The enemy is coming in like a flood. And Lord, we're asking that you might raise up a standard even against it. Continue to guide the presbytery. We ask in the days in which we're found, give our officers wisdom, give the presbytery wisdom. We ask thee to remember the presbytery as it will meet in this incoming week. We pray that the hand of God might be upon it. And Lord, we ask that even in the dark spiritual times in which we're found, there might be an advancement of the gospel. We want to pray, Father, there'll be a lengthening of our cords and a strengthening of our stakes, even in the days in which you've brought us to witness for thee. Lord, we believe you've brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we ask that the voice of our denomination might be heard clearly and powerfully across the land, even once again. We ask thee, Father, remember this incoming week. The psalmist said, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And Lord, we commit this week unto thee, especially the congregational meeting on Wednesday night. Pray for the hand of God to be upon it. You've told us, promised in your word, that you'll teach us and instruct us in the way that we should go, and you'll guide us with thine eye. And Lord, we're pleading for united guidance to be given to the membership of this congregation on Wednesday night. We want to pray, Father, that you'll show those that you have chosen for the offices of this congregation, even for the days that lie ahead. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless that meeting and through it, that you'll bless this work, bless this witness. We're asking, Father, for a strengthening of the testimony of the gospel here. We want to pray, Father, add to this work. We look to thee. You're the one alone that can give the increase. So we plead to that end, Father. We're pleading for others to be drawn in. We're pleading for souls to be saved. We recognize, Father, that we need the power of God. We're conscious just of the lukewarmness, the deadness of the days in which we're found. O God, save us. We pray from that Laodicean spirit that we're neither cold nor hot. We ask for the power of God. We ask, Father, that you would send to us at this time even a breath of God. Send us a little reviving, even in our bondage. Lord, hear our cries and our prayers now, and abide with us through this meeting. We ask for your hand to be upon the gathering, and we pray for the Spirit of God to rest upon the preaching today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 103, we're going to sing together the opening seven verses of the psalm. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. So the first seven verses, the final one's a double verse, so it's six verses in all that we're singing. And we're going to stand together as we sing, please.
Amen.
third epistle of John, please. We invite you to take the scriptures and turn to the reading. Follow the portion as it's read publicly. John's third epistle. We're going to read the entire epistle. We'll read from the first verse. We emphasize how John describes himself. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Keep in mind that the apostles held the dual office in the New Testament church of apostle and elder. If you read 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter addresses the elders and says, "Who am also an elder." So here's another reference, another indication of that. The apostles sat on the presbytery, sat in the Kirk session. They were elders of the church as well as apostles. That's an interesting subject, perhaps for another day to develop a little further. So we emphasize that to you as we come to the reading this morning. 3 John and the first verse, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Just to emphasize that verse to you, there's nothing should cause us greater joy, either at a family level or a church level, whether it's our own physical children or those that we have been used to bring to Christ that are our children in the faith. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort," or if you have a Bible with a margin, you'll see the alternative, "after a, or a worthy of God, bring forward on their journey in a manner that is worthy of God, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." Amen. We know the Lord will add today to this public reading of his word his own divine seal of approval and blessing. We take the opportunity just for a moment to bid you all warmly welcome. We thank you for your presence. We're glad to see you. at our morning service. We're thankful for all that have been able to gather. May the Lord bless you. May he bless the meeting. May the Lord be pleased to be amongst us if you've come to visit. We want to welcome you especially. It always encourages us to have visitors in the meeting. We welcome the children and the young people. We're blessed by your presence. It's always an encouragement to us. And we welcome as well those that have taken the time to watch this service on the live stream. We pray you'll know the Lord's presence, but especially our prayer is that wherever you are, that you'll hear the voice of God through his word. Remember, please, the meeting tonight, the evening gospel service, it takes the form of the parents' night for both our children's bright hours. The children of both of those meetings, the meeting here at the church and down in Killalea, they will be taking part. Each have prepared a short program for us. We're looking forward to that. Remember as well, at the end of the services, that the prizes will be given out to the children. There is to be supper after the service for everyone. We ask the ladies to help us in the provision of the food for the supper. Remember what we've emphasized before, that there's one of the children has a peanut allergy, so if you can avoid bringing peanuts or nuts of any description along to the supper tonight, that would be an immense help. Remember our sister, Miss Christina Logan, who's a children's evangelist under the mission board here in the province. Christina's from the Risharkin congregation. She is to be the speaker. Keep Christina in your prayers. Pray that the Lord will use her and bless her ministry across the province. And we emphasize to you that there is a half hour of prayer before the service tonight. On Tuesday evening, the children's bright hour here is meeting at the usual time, and they're going to have a games night, and there'll be a message then brought to the children at the close. The bright hour at Killalea are having their outing, going to Gulliver's at the leisure centre here in the city, and then on to Kentucky Fried Chicken. They're leaving Killalea at 6:10 on Tuesday night, and they plan to be back in the village again for 8:15. So just to highlight that for both meetings, the children here having a games night and the children from Killalea having your outing for the end of the season. Remember, please, on Wednesday night, the congregational meeting that is to be held for the election of office bearers, for the election of new elders, the re-election of the church committee. That congregational meeting will be held here in the main church building. Just to stress to you again that there are no postal votes at the meeting on Wednesday night, that you must be present in order to cast your votes in both of those elections, the election for the elder and then subsequently the election for the committee. So we do want to encourage again, stress the importance of a good turnout of the congregational or of the communicant members of the congregation this coming Wednesday evening. If you are if you're not a member, you are welcome to attend, but you cannot participate in the election. You cannot vote. You are welcome to come and just to observe and see all that takes place in that meeting, but I stress that to you, that you cannot vote in the meeting itself. The votes will be conducted by the Reverend Andrew Patterson, the minister of our Market Hill congregation, and two of the elders, two of the members of the Kirk session of the Market Hill Church will be present to assist the Reverend Patterson. The Reverend Patterson will announce the instruction, the instructions. He will give the guidance for the election on Wednesday night before the votes actually take place. The final voting lists have been posted on the notice board in the porch. Just to highlight, to emphasise that the two lists are not exactly the same. So please check both lists. Make sure, we say to the male members that are eligible for election, make sure your name is where it should be, either on or off the list. as the case may be. Please check that, and if there are any mistakes, speak to me about that as soon as possible. We encourage the communicant membership to take note of the names that are remaining on the two voting lists. Remember, that's the purpose of preparing the lists and having them posted, the final list posted today in advance of the meeting on Wednesday night, to give you opportunity to look at those lists and to consider the names that are remaining. We encourage you to keep in prayer for the meeting on Wednesday night, that the Lord's presence will be known, that his hand will be upon the meeting, and that his hand will be upon the votes that take place, that there will be a very clear decision made, very clear and united voting that will take place. And we encourage you as well to bring a pen. That will be of good practical help. It would be a wee bit difficult for us to provide pens for everyone that would be present. Just to take a moment on behalf of the Kirk session and on behalf of the congregation as a whole as well, we do want to express our sincere thanks to the outgoing members of committee, to Ken Hartley, Fred West, Billy McCrum, and Adrian Stewart. They've all been very faithful in their support and in their labours. They have served as committee men in a very diligent manner for almost 7 years. They have been a great help and a great blessing, even with some very difficult issues that the committee has had to face and to deal with. And we want to acknowledge that today, and on behalf of the session and the congregation, extend our deepest thanks to each one of them for their work. And we would want to say to them, as Boaz said to Ruth those many years ago, may the Lord recompense your work and give you a full reward. Do remember Friday night, the youth fellowship. It's a recreation night. The young people are going to the Artastic Trampoline Park over at Craigavon, and they're meeting on the Mall at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. Also, just to emphasise for the session, the elders, that presbytery is meeting this coming Friday night. Remember, because the first Friday in April falls on Good Friday, that they've decided to bring the presbytery forward by a week. So presbytery is meeting this coming Friday night, the 31st of March, and the meeting is in our neighbouring congregation of Market Hill, so up in Market Hill at 8 o'clock. The next Lord's Day, the 2nd of April, 10:40 the Sunday School and the Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. Remember, there will be communion, the Lord's table, immediately after the morning service. We encourage the Lord's people to come prepared to wait behind just for that little while. 6:30 is the evening gospel meeting. Remember the half hour of prayer before both services, and Lord willing, I'll be preaching both of those meetings myself. Just to highlight that the outreach recommences on Tuesday, the 4th of April. A meeting at the church at 7:30. We'll be doing outreach that night in the immediate area around the church building here. We'd want to encourage you to get involved in the work of the outreach team this coming summer. If you haven't done that before, we encourage those that have been involved in the past to continue to be. If you'd like to help with the outreach team and you haven't done that, talk to our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum, as soon as possible. The offering that was taken on Wednesday night past for the ploughing outreach, the total so far is £1,057.84. It was a very good meeting. We were blessed by it. A very good attendance. We do want to thank sincerely all that came, and we thank you sincerely for your giving, your generous giving. That is an excellent offering. You can still add to it. If you'd like to do that, please see one of the treasurers as soon as possible. Remember, the Vision magazine, just to highlight it again, the current edition is available at the doors of the church. Finally, just we want to sympathize in the wider denomination with the Reverend Thomas Murray, the minister of our Lurgan Church. Remember that the Reverend Murray was a former moderator of the denomination, a former deputy moderator as well. So we sympathize with the Reverend Murray on the death of his father, Mr. Ernest Murray, who had been a long-standing and very prominent member of the Londonderry congregation. Mr. Ernest Murray was also the father of Mr. John Murray. John's an elder in the Londonderry congregation, and both a member of the Mission Board and the Missionary Council. And Mr. Ernest Murray was also the grandfather of the Reverend Andrew Murray, who's the minister of the Ardara congregation. So the Murray family have had quite an influence to the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church as a whole. The funeral service is tomorrow at 12:30 in the Londonderry congregation. And as a congregation, we want to sympathise today with the whole Murray family and assure them of our prayers just at this time of bereavement. Just if I can ask the members of session that are present this morning, if you could wait behind, if we could meet just for a few minutes in the minister's room just before you go home, we'd appreciate that very much. 169, please. We want to sing these words as a prayer of our heart as we come to the Word of God. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given, send us now a Pentecost. Verses 1, 2, and 4. We'll leave out the third, and we're going to stand as we sing, please. Just in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we're able to be here today. We acknowledge your goodness. We know that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And we thank you, Father, for all that you've blessed us with. You're the God that daily loads us with benefits. And for every blessing that Father, you've showered down upon us today, Already we give thee praise. Thank you for giving us health to be here today. We thank you that we're well enough to be in the house of God. We're mindful, Father, of the senior members of our congregation that are no longer able to be with us. Grant them thy presence and blessing today. Encourage them. And Lord, we ask thee to remember several in our congregation that are unwell, those that are laid aside, those that have been through surgery and operations, procedures just in recent days. O Lord, be near to each one of them. We ask for the healing touch of God to be upon them. We remember the exhortation of your word that we're to pray one for another, that we might be healed. We want to intercede for those that are sick today, those that have family members that are unwell, those whose hearts are heavy today because of the illness of loved ones. O God, we ask for each one of them that they might know the healing touch of the Lord's hand to be upon them. Remember, Father, those that have procedures and appointments in this incoming week. We remember our brother Eddie especially. Be near to him. May your hand be upon him. We ask that you'll guide the doctors and the surgeons in all that they have to do. And may our brother know a strengthening touch from the Lord at this time as well. Lord, abide with us now through the remainder of our meeting. We pray the Lord will draw near. We ask, Father, come and breathe upon us, even as we have just sung together. May the breath of God rest clearly upon the preaching of your word in this house today. And Lord, we ask thee to speak to us. What a difference that would make. Just if we were to hear thee speak to all our hearts this day. Answer these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 John, please. The words of the verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Especially the words of this 12th verse. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. In recent weeks and months, we have been preparing ourselves by our Bible studies for the congregational meeting in the will of the Lord on Wednesday evening. This morning, I want us to think, by way of conclusion of those messages, on the subject of an example of a man to choose for church office. And that's what the Lord has given to us here in the 12th verse of 3 John, an example of a man to choose for church office. Can I highlight for you that Demetrius that is spoken of here is the third character that is named in this short epistle. The only other mention of the name Demetrius in the New Testament scriptures is in Acts chapter 19. He was one of the silversmiths that made the shrines for the goddess Diana. Now, we can't be sure if the Demetrius in Acts 19 is the same person, the same man spoken of here in 3 John. If he was, well, just think of what a change has taken place in his life. The name Demetrius means belonging to Demeter. Demeter was an agricultural goddess of those days. So if you think of the change, a man that once made silver shrines for the goddess Diana, a man that belonged to Demeter, he now belongs to the Lord. He's been converted. Great change in his life. Demetrius is one of those that we could describe as the quiet men of the Bible. Because all that we know about Demetrius is really found here in the words of this 12th verse. Remember that it is sad, it's tragic, it's grieving to read about Diotrephes. He's the previous person that is named in this short epistle. Tragic to read about his conduct and behavior. But by way of contrast, how refreshing, how blessed to read in this 12th verse about Demetrius. And what stands out, men and women? What can't be missed as you read these words is how Demetrius is commended. Now remember, Diotrephes, he was a contentious church member. But here in verse 12 is a commended church member. He's given a good report. And it's a report that's clear, a report that's strong, a report that's very wide. In fact, we'd have to say it's a report that's outstanding. Here's a believer, here's a member of the church that not only did he love the truth, may the Lord give us a greater love for his word, but this man not only loved the truth, but he also lived it day by day. And I say to you, brethren and sisters, especially the membership of this congregation, as we think of the election of office bearers on Wednesday evening, I want to emphasize, I want you to see, here is the sort of man, here are the sort of men that you ought to be looking for. Here is an example, here's an illustration of a man or of a member who would make a good office bearer in the church, especially a good elder of the congregation. So I urge you today, in God's name, I urge you to look for this caliber of man. And I want to urge you all, each one in the meeting this morning that knows the Lord, I want to urge you to seek to live your life like this man did. Live like this yourself. Make the life of Demetrius. Make it the standard to attain to. Make it the standard for you to strive after in your own walk with the Lord. You'll notice in verse 12 that there's a fourfold commendation that is given to this man. And I want to highlight those four aspects of the commendation. Let us consider it. Let us emphasize those four areas to you. First of all, can I mention that Demetrius was commended by society. The text says, Demetrius hath a good report of all men. Now don't miss, brethren and sisters, what John is saying. Don't miss the breadth of this commendation. He had a good report of all men. Everyone knew Demetrius. Everyone that knew this man, everyone that was acquainted with him, they spoke very highly of his life, and they spoke very highly of his conduct. Here's a man whose life and testimony was beyond reproach, not just before the church, not just before the Christians, but his life and testimony was also beyond reproach before the world, before the ungodly. Even those who were the enemies of the gospel, and even those who were his enemies personally, they gave him a good report. And what a challenge, men and women. What a challenge that is. If you think of Daniel, the prophet, think of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Remember that we're told that the presidents and the princes, in other words, the political leaders in Babylon of that time, they all, every one of them, hated Daniel. But they sought to find occasion against him, but they found none. The wording of the passage is, none occasion nor fault was found against him. Now take that in. It goes on to say, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. So just think of that. Daniel's life, Daniel's conduct was such that no error, no fault could be found in it. Not even by those who were looking for a fault. Not even by those who were investigating his life. They tried to dig up dirt on Daniel. They tried to find skeletons in his closet. But there was nothing that could be found. Nothing that could be said against him. There's not too many politicians with that sort of reputation today. In fact, we could probably go further and say there's not too many Christians with that sort of reputation today. But Demetrius's life, men and women, was just the same as Daniel's. All his social acquaintances had great respect for him. Anyone that was asked about this man, asked about his life, and I stress that to you again, anyone that was asked about him could only give a good report of his testimony and his conduct. So I want to ask you this morning, brethren and sisters, what of you? What of your reputation? How do you compare with this man? Can I remind you that one of the qualifications for elder, for the office of the elder, that Paul gave when he was writing to Timothy is this: he must have a good report of them that are without. In other words, a good report of them that are outside the church. A good report, a good testimony, a good name, a good reputation, even by those that are out there in the world. That's the sort of man Demetrius was. That's the sort of testimony that he had. And that's the sort of man that we should be looking for, that you should be looking for, to appoint especially to the office of elder on this Wednesday night coming. And as you think of that, men and women, a good report of them that are without, ask yourself, do you have such a name? Do you have such a report? So he was commended, first of all, by society. He's also commended by the scriptures, because the text goes on to say, and of the truth itself. So here, brethren and sisters, is a man, and his life is commended by the word of God, commended by the scriptures. What that means is this: you could test his life by the Bible, and it would pass the test. Would your life pass such a test? Remember, that's a very difficult test, brethren and sisters. But Demetrius didn't fail, even in that test. I want you to see, really, what we've been told here, brethren and sisters. I want you to see what we've been taught in this place. And it's this: if you compared what the Bible demanded of the life of the Christian, if you compared that with how Demetrius lived, how he behaved, the one would correspond with the other. There was no area of his life where the scriptures would condemn him. Isn't that quite a challenge, quite a standard? Heaven's smile, heaven's benediction was on this man's life. The Lord was saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So here, brethren and sisters, is the most precious testimony that a child of God can have. To have God's testimony that your life pleases him. Remember what the Bible says of Enoch, that before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And I wonder this morning, is that your testimony? Have your life, a walk as a Christian, that is pleasing in the sight of God? If you think of it like this, does God's word commend or condemn the life that you live as a Christian? Remember that it needs to be underlined that it is the Bible alone that sets the standard for the Christian life. Too often we set the standard for the Christian life by some other Christian that is around us. But remember that the standard for the Christian life is not the world, it's not society, it's not government, it's not some carnal Christian. It is the scriptures that reveal the duty that God requires of man. And if there is a part of the Bible that you know you're deliberately disobeying, then you can't claim to have the commendation of God. You can't claim to have the commendation of the scriptures upon your life. So he's commended by society. He's commended by the scriptures. Notice as well that he's commended by the spiritual leaders. If you notice the wording of verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also. John himself goes on to say, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So it's clear that John knew this man personally. John had met Demetrius. He was well acquainted with his lifestyle. And what that means is that John himself could give his own personal testimony he could give his own good report of Demetrius's life, Demetrius's reputation. Can I remind you what we said at the beginning of the reading? That John describes himself as an elder of the church, there right at the beginning of verse 1. What that means is that the man with the spiritual oversight of the congregation, the man with the spiritual oversight of the work of God, is able himself to give a good report of Demetrius' life. He was able to say, this elder, John the elder, was able to say of Demetrius, he's godly, he's Christ-honoring, he's a spirit-filled man, he's a man that has a good testimony, he's a man whose life is a blessing. Can I point out to you, brethren and sisters, that the view of the elders of the church of your life and testimony is something that's very important, both in time and in eternity. That is something that is not always recognized by the church, not always recognized by Christians in the church. Can I remind you of the words that Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers, Hebrews chapter 13, that speaking of the elders, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Can I remind the elders, any that might be prospective elders in this meeting this morning, there's a solemn responsibility. Watch for your souls, the souls of the congregation. Just as a shepherd must closely and carefully watch the flock, the condition, the position of every sheep, some of the farmers in the meeting this morning can identify and understand the picture. But just in the same way, the elder, the spiritual shepherd, watches over their flock, the congregation, over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers, so as to guide those sheep, to guide that flock aright. A sad thing today is that many sheep don't want that sort of spiritual guidance to be given to them. But as the shepherd watches faithfully and closely, what happens is he gets familiar with his sheep. That's true in the natural. He gets familiar with the life. I'm emphasizing now the work of the elder, the spiritual. As the shepherd watches faithfully and closely, he gets familiar with the life, the spirituality of every sheep, of every member of the congregation. The fact is that the shepherd that is faithful, he will know his flock well. He'll know them very well indeed. What is true naturally, men and women, is also true spiritually. He gets to know the flock well. And that's one of the reasons why the minister, sometimes the elder, is often asked to give a reference for members of the congregation, sometimes verbally, sometimes written. I've lost count a long time ago of the many references that I've written for members of congregations. For example, when young people want to go on outreach, if they want to go to Bible college, if they want to go to the mission field, if they want to enter into the work of the ministry, one of the things that will happen in that process is the session will be asked to give a recommendation. They will have to give their assessment of the attitude, the spirituality of that young person. There can be a lot of questions that are asked, a lot of questions to answer. Ultimately, the session must say, are they suitable? Are they suitable for an outreach team? Are they suitable for ministry? Suitable for Bible college? Suitable for the mission field? Also, we're often asked to write job references. You know, sometimes it's a sad reflection. Christians think they can live as they like, and then a nice wee letter will be written about them whenever they need it. The commendation of spiritual leaders. Could you get it? Does your life, your walk with God, does it warrant it today? Can I remind you that finally, ultimately, the account of the elders that will be given of your life is not in this world. It's not in this life. It's not before the world, or it's not before the church, but it will be before the Lord. It will be given on the great day of judgment. And on that great day, men and women, they will be called by the Lord to give a report about your life. That's what Paul was saying there in the book of Hebrews. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they will be called to give a report before the Lord of your life. What sort of Christian, what sort of church member you were. How solemn that is. So just think of that, and what sort of report will that be? What sort of things will have to be said? Remember that not all the reports that will be given will be joyful, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So what sort of report would that be for you about your behavior as a Christian, your attitude to the Word of God, your attitude to the men of God? So emphasize, it's a clear lesson that's taught here in this passage, this verse. I emphasize the importance of being commended by the spiritual leaders, especially the elders of the church. The final part of the commendation that John mentions here is that of the saints. If you look at the end of verse 12, he says, "Ye know that our record is true." John is speaking to Gaius. Gaius knew Demetrius. Gaius was familiar with Demetrius' life. And John is saying to Gaius, "You can't deny what I'm saying. You know that this commendation that I'm giving of this believer, this dear brother, you know that my commendation is true." John is saying to this saint of God, "You know yourself how commendable his behavior, his life, his conduct, his service is." And what Gaius knew about Demetrius individually, so too did all the saints. So too did all the church members. His Christian character, his exemplary conduct, it wasn't just obvious to one saint, but it was obvious to all. It was something that could be clearly seen by all the church. And brethren and sisters, that type of Christian is scarce. That type of Christian really is few and far between. You don't find too many of them. The type of member that is a blessing and does good to the whole church, every member of the congregation. Just ask yourself, in the light of all of that, what sort of report would other Christians give of my life? Just your own. Don't need to think about anybody else. What sort of report would other Christians give of your life? So here's Demetrius. Here's a man in the Word of God. Not much said about him. Remember, one of the quiet men of the Bible. But there's a fourfold commendation given of his life by the society, by the world, by the scriptures. His life lines up with the teaching of the Word of God, by the spiritual leaders, the elder, those that have the oversight, and by the saints, the believers, that he met in fellowship with every day. So think of this, brethren and sisters. Think of what a great thing it would be when you have departed from this scene of time. Remember, this man is long gone, many hundreds of years ago. And here's the summary of his life that God has recorded in the book for us to remember. So think of what a great thing it would be when you have departed from this scene of time, if what you were remembered for was the fact that you were a commended church member, a highly commended church member. So I want, brethren and sisters, to urge you all to strive after that. Strive after that name. Strive after that testimony. Strive after that reputation. Remember, there's nothing more important. Nothing in this world, men and women. I highlighted to you those words of John's in the fourth verse. "No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." There's nothing more important. There's nothing that should give any of us greater joy than walking in the truth and to know that our family and our loved ones walk in the truth as well. And when you think of the fourfold commendation, think of how wide it is. What you learn here is Here's a man whose life was consistent. His life was the same everywhere. His life was the same in all company. He didn't act holy in church and when he was among Christians and then live like the devil for the rest of the time, for the rest of the week. No, it's clear that his testimony was always the same. You think of the three men mentioned. I encourage you to study their lives, Gaius, Diotrephes, Demetrius. Ask yourself, which of these three church members are you like? We have been thinking of Demetrius this morning, so think of him especially and ask, are you like Demetrius? Do you have a commendation for your life? Do you have the commendation that he had? Do you have the consistent walk, the consistent testimony that this man had? I say to you just in closing, brethren and sisters, ask this question as we finish the study this morning. Why did John give, or why did he present to Gaius this fourfold commendation of Demetrius? That's a very good question. Why did he put it by inspiration into the book? Well, let me point out verse 11, the verse before our text. It's the key verse of the letter. Remember, there's a key verse in every book that gives you the core message that opens up that book of the Bible to you. So verse 11 is the key verse of the book. And it tells us why this short epistle was written. If you notice the opening words of verse 11, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. That's great advice, men and women, to all in the meeting this morning. In the wicked days in which we live, here's very good spiritual counsel. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. It's very interesting, the word follow there. It's the word from which we get our word mimic. The reality is that by nature, we like to watch, we like to mimic, we like to imitate others. And this is what John was afraid of. When John heard about the trouble that there was in this church and among these believers, he was concerned that Gaius would follow or he would imitate the wrong person. So he warns Gaius. He warns him in the clearest, strongest manner not to be like Diotrephes. Don't follow, don't mimic him, but rather follow Demetrius. He's saying to Gaius, take Demetrius as a pattern for your life and follow him. Mimic him in all that you do. And the lesson, brethren and sisters, is very important. You should choose your examples carefully. It is sad, but it's true nonetheless, that there are not only good examples in the life, good examples in life and good examples in the church, but there are also bad examples. That's a sad thing. So we need to pause for a moment and ask, which are you? Are you a good example? Your life a good example? Would you want others to mimic you in the way you live the Christian life? If you wouldn't, then that's something you need to think about. Just don't go from the meeting this morning and brush it to the side. If there's something in your life that you know is not right, you wouldn't want your children to follow. You wouldn't want your children to be like you. You wouldn't want others in the church to be like you. If they can't follow you fully in the Christian life, you need to think about that. And even more, men and women, you need to deal with it. Sort it out. Put it right in your life. Choose your examples carefully. In a sense, that's what we're going to do on Wednesday night, especially with the office of the elder. Choosing examples, those that will be examples. Peter said to the elders in that passage that I mentioned to you earlier, 1 Peter 5, he spoke about elders being ensamples to the flock. The word ensamples is just another variation of the word example. And in essence, that's a priority of the work of the eldership, is being an example an example for the congregation to mimic, for the congregation to imitate, for them to follow. So I want to emphasize that to you. They need to be those who set the right example. Demetrius was such a man. That's why we have called this message this morning an example of a man to choose for church office. He was such a man. His life could be picked out. His life could be pointed to. Christians could be told, you see that man, Demetrius, live like him. Follow his life. Follow his example. That's the way you should live. And that men and women is the sort of person to choose for office. In fact, let me make it clear to you, that is the only sort of person to choose for the office, the offices of the church. So I repeat it to you, choose your examples carefully. Verses 11 and 12 as we close, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I pray, men and women, the Lord will bless his word and write it upon every heart this morning. Two verses of 628 as we close. I am praying, blessed Saviour, to be more and more like thee. I am praying that thy spirit, like a dove, may rest on me. Thou who knowest all my weakness, thou who knowest all my care, while I plead each precious promise, hear, O hear, and answer prayer. 628. We'll sing just the first two verses standing as we sing, please. If they could wait, come to the minister's room just for a few minutes, please. Father, thank you for your presence with us, the blessing we've known. Thank you for the good word of God. Remember, Father, you've said that these things are written for our learning. We remember that you teach us not just by precept, but also by example, and the example of those whose lives are recorded in the scriptures. Sometimes that life is a warning to us, and sometimes it is a blessing. And Lord, we thank you for the commendation of your servant Demetrius that has been preserved by inspiration to the challenge of our hearts in the Word of God. Bless this message that has gone forth. We commit this congregation into your hands at this time, the membership of it especially. Lord, go before us into this important week that lies ahead. We pray for your presence on Wednesday night. We ask for your clear hand of guidance to be upon the meeting. And Lord, we're pleading that you'll show clearly those that you have chosen both for elder and deacon of the church here in Armagh for the days that lie ahead. Hear our cries. Lord, abide with us as we leave. We ask that you will part us in thy fear and with thy favour. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all. For Jesus' sake. Amen.